the church say amen?
Amen.
Say amen again. Neither is there salvation unto any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why we come by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship the great God of heaven, who makes no mistakes. He does all things well. We've had a great day today. We've had a wonderful day today. And my brother Hamilton started off. He did a wonderful Bible class today. And Brother Cooper. And Brother Cooper was doing well. Until he got the brothers in trouble. His business about women resting. The brother doing all the work. He's going to start checking brother's lesson next time he comes. Well, we always appreciate our brother. And appreciate those kind words from Brother Hamilton. And he's right. I don't need any introduction. And I'm glad he didn't get the situation that, what's the guy's name from FEMA? I don't want him embellish nothing. That's all right, brother. Just... Yeah, that's all you need to say. We're so thankful again and humbled the opportunity again. And I pray for Brother Goodman. So thankful for the confidence that he has in me once again to preach the gospel. Now, Sister Bowie told me to be short tonight, so we're going to try to do our best. I'll try, Sister. Don't hold me to it. But I just want to start off with just a little story here for us. But if you're visiting among us, you are indeed an honored guest, and we pray that we can just say a word or two that will encourage you to want to know Jesus even better for yourself. Amen? Amen. We believe that the Bible is right. Jesus died for the precious church that he loves so much. That's the Church of Christ. Yes. Now, this is about God who knows us. A small town prosecuting attorney called his first witness to stand in a trial. A grandmotherly elderly woman. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you ever since you were a young boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, you manipulate people, and you talk about them behind your backs. You think you're rising big shot, but you have the brains to realize that you never will amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked, "Miss Williams, do you know the defense attorney?" She again replied, "Why, yes, I do. I know Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. I used to babysit him for his parents. And he, too, has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, he's bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his legal law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." At this point, the judge wrapped the courtroom to silence and called both the counselors to the bench. In a very quiet voice, he said with a menace, "If either of you asks her if she knows me, you'll be in jail for contempt within the next 5 minutes. But there's somebody who knows all of us, and that is God." Amen, somebody. Amen. So tonight, just for a short moment, I want to invite you to our text in Matthew, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse number 33, and we'll read to verse number 37. And the topic that I will discuss tonight is entitled, "What's in your heart leaks out of your mouth." What's in your heart leaks out of your mouth. Now, just to set the scene for the context here, I want to look at this chapter, and I want to start at verse number 22. Are you there? And the Bible says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And the Bible says in verse number 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts." He knew their thoughts. Now, to set the scene here, You see that the blind, the dumb man, he came to Jesus. And Jesus being the gracious, the Lord, the Bible's who had compassion on folks. The Bible says that he healed him. Now the three afflictions which were gone. Now, and the people were amazed. And we know that miracles were done in this time to confirm the word. But you know what happened here? What next came is, here comes the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, you know, when something is good, see, sometimes people, you know, they can't, they want to scrutinize the man instead of focusing on the miracle. They said nothing about the man being healed of his infirmity. He was now able to see, but they want to scrutinize Jesus. So, the Bible said the Pharisees, this was their reaction together. They said that Jesus could not have done this except he had an allegiance with Beelzebub, who in Jewish history was the ruler of the house of demons. But the Bible says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. Isn't that something? Jesus already knew their thoughts. So first of all, the first point I want to deal with is the testimony of the tongue. The testimony of the tongue. And one thing that I like about Jesus is that, you know, Jesus always gets to the root of the matter. If we look at the text that's been assigned, he says in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, he calls it like he sees it. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in your heart? Is it direct? He's making the direct correlations. What comes out of you has to be what's inside of you. Let's look at this. First of all, let's get an operational definition of the word heart. The word heart originates from the Greek word cardiva, which is translated cardia, where we get our modern day word of cardio or cardiovascular. The heart. It's used in a sense here as the center point of your life, the soul, the mind, as the foundation for all of our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our appetites, our purposes, and our endeavors. And Brother Thomas, you know the three parts, the soma, the pneuma, and the psyche. Now see, the problem here was the Pharisees, they were all caught up in externalism. They were all caught up in an outside show to the world. They were caught up in wearing, enlarging the borders of their garments. They wanted greetings among men, rabbi, rabbi. They wanted to sit in the chief seats in the synagogue. You know, so they put all this focus on the outside rather than on inward purity. Okay, they focus on observing all the traditions. But see, Jesus says, why do you transgress the traditions of God with your traditions? You know, because if you remember over there in Matthew chapter 7, where they wanted to say, well, why do disciples eat and don't wash their hands? Okay? Now, Jesus, now that's a good practice. That's a good practice. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but it's what's in your heart. So Jesus, see, he was able to see through these Pharisees. And he can see what was at the root of the matter, at the heart. In our vernacular, he says, you know, you can't fake the funk with Jesus. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So Jesus says that, yes, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, I submit to you tonight, church, that what's on your heart is a direct reflection of what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In James 1:26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain. Jesus says the words of a man, they expose the kind of person that he is. They expose what his true nature is, what's deep beneath the surface. A man exposed, his words expose his character, good, kind, bad or cruel. They expose his mind, what he thinks, whether pure or impure. They expose his spirit, what he believes and what he pursues. And the Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, the lesson that Jesus is talking about tonight, he's talking about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The Pharisees, he says, yes, they have good words and they have fair speeches, but they themselves, they don't do these things. Okay? They bind heavy burdens upon men, but themselves, they won't even lift a finger. A hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? See, a hypocrite that's used today, hypocrites comes from the original word in the Greek, which means to be an actor in a play. Such as these Pharisees, they were actually playing a part, acting to be spiritual. Now, in the old ancient Greek theater, all parts were played by men. Okay? Even the women's role was played by a man. So what they would do is they would wear these large masks. Okay, have you ever seen the icon for theater? You see two masks. Now, the word hypocrite, it means to speak from under. Hypocrisy, to speak from under. So they would speak from under the mask. Now, church, I submit to you tonight, even among us, even in the church, you got those that are wearing their masks. It's September, and you got a mask on. Amen. Sometimes some of the meanest people in the world are church folks. Now, why? Why is this? You know, we've gotten the misconception that the church is the building. Okay? So what we do on Sunday morning, we put our makeup on in our dressing room, put our costumes on, we get our props, and then we go out to worship. Okay? Now, the real test of spirituality, because it's not easy to be a Christian in the assembly. What's the true test of Christianity? When you're away. Yeah, when you're away from the saints. Okay? When you're away from the saints. What about outside the church, on your job, in your home? Are you a play actor? Are you a player? Are you a pretender? See, these hypocrites, they were play act. They were just playing a role, acting to be spiritual, such as some of us sometimes. Okay? So the true Christianity is outside. Are you on the phone, talking down the church? In the parking lot, talking down the church? But your life ought to reflect that you've been with the Lord. When you're on your job, those that you come in contact with, they ought to know that you believe this stuff, okay? And that's what Jesus dealt with, this hypocrisy. If they walked around appearing spiritual, but, you know, even among us, you know, some of us ought to win some Academy Awards, some Oscars, some Emmys, even some Sundance Festival Awards on the type of performances that we put on. Praise the Lord. You know, we know those nice, those religious sayings, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, brother. You know, but how do you know? Like these Pharisees said, they were sheep in wolves' clothing. Sheep, yeah. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Inside, ravening wolves. So, you know, walking around, you know, and how do you test them? That's why in 1 John 4, the Bible says, love, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. How do you try the spirits? You know what the test is? See, sheep in wolves' clothing. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Said it again. Walking around, bah, bah, bah. Step on the toes, bah, son of a. Mercy. Be careful, okay? See, when it slips, true Christianity, okay? Yeah, cussing on the job, okay? I know we may be surprised, but I've heard among us. Yeah. Some of y'all laugh. You know what I'm talking about. A Christian ought to be in control of his tongue. I didn't say it. I know y'all thought I was going to say it, but I didn't say it. Be in control of your thoughts, in subjection, in the captivity of our mind. So that's the real deal. When after the assembly, hypocrites, sheep in wolves' clothing, but he says, you shall know them by their fruit. Okay? That's what they produce. Talking about, now, it's more than just, you know, we can say some things from our words, okay? And that's good. It's even more than that. He goes to production. What you produce, known by their fruits. So, the testimony of the tongue is very important. What you say ought to be a reflection of that. You know, when the apostles, they said that they had known that they had been with the Lord. Never had a man spoke with this much boldness. They can see Jesus in these men. It's the same thing ought to be true for us. When they see us, they don't know that we've been with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hypocrisy. This is a story of a man who came down from North Carolina, and he was all dressed up like sometimes we are, carrying his Bible. And a friend saw him and asked, Elias, what's happening? Where are you going all dressed up like that? Elias said, I've been hearing a lot about Las Vegas. I hear there's a lot of free running liquor, a lot of gambling, and a lot of good, real naughty shows. Our friend looked over him and said, Elias, why are you carrying your Bible under your arm? Elias replied, well, if it's as good as they say, I might as well stay over until Sunday. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The tragedy of the tongues, my next thought, is when it's used for evil rather than good. For lying, false witness, evil speaking, pride, sowing discord among the brethren, gossiping. Oh, that's a big one. I said something there, gossiping. Did you know gossiping is a sin? Sometimes we can't wait to get out of the church and get on the phone. Brother, so-and-so, so-and-so. But you know what? No matter what, you won't get by. No matter how insignificant the sin may be, you won't get by. How well you may try to hide or conceal it, you won't get by. If nobody ever knows about it, you won't get by. If you're never caught in this life, you won't get by. If others personally approve of you doing it, you still won't get by. If no one else gets hurt by it, you still won't get by. And no matter what, if it appears to have got you've got by with it, you won't get by, and they won't either. Although you may wish that you could get by, you won't. You may think that you'll get by, you won't. You may plan to get by, you won't. Although you may fight or plead to get by, you won't. No matter whether you believe it or not, there's someone that has witnessed every bad word that you've spoken, every single penny that you ever stolen, every shameful act that you ever committed, every angry glare that you ever stared, every dirty story that you ever told, every condemning finger that you ever pointed at somebody, there's someone who has witnessed it all. And believe me, church, you won't get by. Church, the judgment day is coming. And although it may not come today, it's still coming. Although it may not come tomorrow, it's still coming. It may not come this week, it's still coming. It may not come this year, but it's still coming. If there is sin in your life, you won't get by. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If we go back and look at our text, the Bible says in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. I'm sorry, I want to back up 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, the word idle, it means negative, unfruitful, ineffective. God hears and records every idle word that we've spoken. Amen. That's why the Bible says that let us do all things unto the edification. Edify one another. This should be the reason why we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, to uplift and upbuild each other. Amen. So when we want to talk down the church, talk down each other, we're doing a disservice to God. Amen. But praise the Lord, the tongue can also be used for some good. To sing praises unto the Lord. To tell the story how good the Lord has been to us. Has the Lord been good to you? Praise the Lord when people can tell when you're walking with the Lord. Now, in order to do this, you must have a clean heart. For David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, that I may serve thee. I submit, you can't serve God otherwise without a clean heart. And David knew this. Not one of us is perfect. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But praise the Lord that God has given us grace. He has forgiven us. He's allowed us another chance. And when that happens, we're to say, thank you, Jesus. We're to sing his praises. We're to want to tell the story how we were sinking deep in sin. But love lifted me. Love lifted you. The triumph of the tongue. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is the fountain of life. Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Proverbs 15:23, a word in due season, how good is it? Proverbs 22:17, hear the words of the wise. Proverbs 29:6, the righteous does sing and rejoice. You know, we have something to rejoice about. That Christ has conquered death for us. Paid the penalty of a cross for a sin that he did not commit. But because he loved us so much, he died for us. Amen. And that's the good news of the gospel. But Christians, we ought to be able to make sure that our speech, that's why when Paul was writing in 1 Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy, he says, he asked him to let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit, and in purity. In word and in conversation. So your speech and your actions being examples of the believers. So church, with the tongue we utter our hearts, either blackened with wickedness or made pure with the knowledge of God. Perhaps no other sin causes so much harm than the mishandling of one's speech. You know, and some folks, you know, they say, well, I just got to say everything that comes to my mind. That pink tornado will get you in trouble sometimes. The Bible says that he that's not able to control his own tongue. We ought to be able to control our speech. Yes, some things may upset you. But remember that God forgave us. As Christians, we are responsible to take guard. That's why he says, you know, guard your hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. You got to guard your heart. And in order to do that, we have to make sure what we put in, you know, what you put in your mind, that's sometimes what comes out. In Philippians 4, Paul says, he names a list of good things. Turn over there, Philippians 4, if you would. Philippians 4, around verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's why it says, you know, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. See, when you're thinking about positive things, what do you think is going to be the outcome? You're going to do positive things. You're going to be more of a service to Jesus Christ. You're going to be more effective in the ministry. Because the Spirit of God is in you. You know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. But if we walk in darkness, we're friends with the devil. Amen. Is that all right, church? So church, what's in our mind it leaks out of the mouth. You know, what you think about, if your mind is focused on spiritual things, then most likely you're going to do spiritual things. You're going to hang around spiritual people. You're going to be reading your word and studying. But see, can you tell when people aren't focused on spiritual things? You know, when they say one thing and do another. Y'all know folks on your job. He says, you can't be at two tables. You can't be at God's table and at the devil's table also. You can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other. But see, we all come in contact with people. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Next moment, they're cussing, fighting, arguing, drinking beer. But see, we have to be careful that our conversation is reflective of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what's in our heart will leak out of your mouth. It'll tell on you. It'll tell on you. And that's why the judgment, every idle thought. Okay, at the judgment, we all will stand and give an answer for the things that we've done in this body, whether those things have been good or whether they have been evil. The church, just want to submit to you that let's be sure to guard our hearts with all diligence. Let's be sure to make sure that our conversation is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that, we'll be the church that he wants us to be. But until then, where there's division among us, when there's backbiting, when there's slandering, when there's rivalry in the body, then Jesus Christ is not pleased. Amen? Now, I'm prepared to close. Sister Bowie, I think I met the burden here. But that's all I want to leave you. Let's not be careful of modern-day Phariseeism. Okay? It's more than what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Okay? Now, if you're here, you're a member of the body of Christ, and your conversation has not been with becoming the Lord, then you need to repent. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. You need to be focused on those things that will help you to grow spiritually and will show Jesus working in your life. Okay? If you're not a member of the body, then first of all, you need to set your heart first. Okay, Romans 10:10 says, it says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So first you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. After first you've heard the gospel, the question is, do you believe it? If you believe it, are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to stop those things that you've been doing and follow the Lord? After that, are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And if you're willing to do that, as a eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, Paul says that if you believe, thou mayest. And Philip says, Philip, and he says he baptized him. And you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, which you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will be added to the church of Christ. Amen. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation,